This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You sent me a message, I didn't respond to it, but is it for next week?
Next week, yeah.
Do we have announcements for it? We don't have announcements for it.
We don't have announcements for it, but we don't have a topic.
Can't we just put a time for, we'll say, a nightmare in MC? Just call it something. So we don't
know.
Isha is like 7:30.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah.
It means a working day.
Yeah.
So do it after Isha.
Okay.
You can put a poster and remind me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always forever begin by praising Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love and our greetings our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his pious and his pure family to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time We ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى to bless us In these, the holiest days of the year, as we head towards the holiest day of the year. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Hujjaj. Today is the beginning of Hajj. This is where the Hajjis will start the rituals of Hajj. So for those of us who would like to know what actually happens today, today is what we call the Yawm al-Tarwiyah. It is the day before, it's a preparation day. So all the Hajjis now are, where are they now? They would have been in Aziziya or in Makkah. And this morning after Fajr, they would have gotten up, they performed Fajr Salah, had breakfast. Then they entered the state of Ihram. They entered the Ihram today, this morning. And from the homes or the hotels in the state of Ihram, they're now all moving to Mina. And most of them should have been in Mina already by now, and they would remain in Mina for the day. Till tomorrow morning Fajr, they will remain in Mina in the state of Ihram. And the only objective of today is to prepare themselves for tomorrow. Today's the purpose of today is to prep themselves mentally, physically, emotionally for what is really going to be the biggest day of their life. And anybody who has gone on Hajj or has not yet gone on Hajj but the niyyah is there, I say again, the day that you stand on Arafah is really the most important moment of your life. It is more important than the day you were born. It is more important than the day you die. More important than when you got married. Because this is a meeting in your calendar with the Lord of the universe. This is an opportunity for you, for the Haji, and I hope inshallah the Hujjaj, if they hear this message and they are going to go to Arafah for the first time, your Islam, your Iman, your position as a Muslim becomes finalized tomorrow at Arafah. The Nabi says, Al-Hajj wa Arafah, that the essence of Hajj is Arafah. Tomorrow is really the pinnacle of Hajj. And he says, the Nabi SAW, there is no better day in the sight of Allah than the day of Arafah. On that day, Allah's mercy descends. Allah descends in the manner which befits His majesty and His mercy, descends to the lowest sama. And He boasts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts, He takes pride in the inhabitants of the earth. Not just the Hajjis, yes, Allah will say to the angels. We know this hadith which we repeat, where Allah calls the angels, Jibreel and all of them, and He says, remember how you questioned me. You're going to create Adam and they're going to be so bad and evil. Look at them now. Look at them at Arafah. Millions of them begging me, crying. And look at the millions across the world that are fasting, the billions that are fasting. and the qurbaning and all those who are doing good deeds during this time. Look at my servants appearing disheveled and dusty. They are in the ihram clothing and they're standing in the sun, not without the shade, shading themselves. And they've come from every distant place in the world, every country, South America, Asia, Africa, wherever, the tip of Africa, from Cape Town. They have come only for the purpose of hoping for my mercy. And they have not even seen my punishment. The Hajis have left their homes. They've spent their money making dua for a Jannah they haven't seen. And making dua to a Rabb that they haven't seen. And making dua for protection from an adab that they haven't seen. All that because they believe in Allah. And therefore, there is no day wherein Allah, the Prophet says, there is no day where Allah releases more people from Jahannam than the day of Arafah. There is no day where Allah's mercy is greater, more magnified than the day of Arafah. As I mentioned, what makes Arafah the pinnacle of your life? I love teaching seerah, the biography of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wednesday night's one of my favorite nights of the week because I get to teach the biography of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you're all invited to come to Oracle High School. And when you look at the life of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, going through the stages, when he gets to Arafah, that's when Allah revealed, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today, I have completed your deen. Today, your position as a Muslim is finally complete. For all of us, we hope for Jannah. We did the kalima, we are Muslims, we make salah, we fast, we give zakah, we give charity, we do our best. But if you haven't yet gone on hajj, there is a box that's not ticked. Your Islam is not yet complete. Your eligibility to enter Jannah is not yet there. For those who couldn't get to hajj, Allah has excused them. But for any person who was able to go on hajj, and he has not gone on hajj, your status as a Muslim is not yet complete. And therefore, when you arrive on Arafah, even for that one moment that you're standing there, you are now a complete Muslim. Your Islam is now complete. Now, alhamdulillah, you can stand before Allah and say, Ya Allah, I did the basics required for me to enter Jannah. I have done what is required of me. And that is why your soul, the determination of your soul, is determined, inshallah, for the Hajj when he reaches Arafah. Why Arafah is also so important, many of us perhaps don't know this. There's something called the mithaq, the covenant we had with Allah. Every soul stood before Allah before we came to this dunya, which is mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-A'raf, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ذُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Allah says, and when I took from the children of Nabi Adam, the souls of his offspring, Allah put all the souls of humanity before him. And Allah asked the souls, أَشْهَدُهُمْ أَلَّا أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَّسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Allah asked, do you testify that I am not your Lord? And they said, the souls, all of humanity says, Bala. We said, yes indeed. Shahidna. We testify that you are our Rabb. This event, when did this event occur? The Quran mentions, Allah spoke to all the souls of Bani Adam, Nabi Adam and his children, and said, am I not your Rabb? This mithaq happened when the souls were created. And in the tafsir of this ayah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, this happened, where this happened was at the plain of Arafah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to all of humanity and said, before I put you on the earth, I will have a relationship with you that I'm your Rabb. And that is why we believe in this concept called the fitrah. There's something called the fitrah. There was a study done, BBC did it recently. They said, if you take a child, you don't teach him any religion, not a Christian, not a Jew. His natural inclination would be, I believe there's a creator. Atheism must be taught. Denial of a Rabb must be taught. Every person, his natural DNA tells him, there is a Lord. Where did this come from? It came from this fitrah. You were programmed before you were born, that I am your Rabb. And you therefore yearn to meet Allah. So it's amazing. The Hajji, when he goes to Arafah, his soul has been there before. And it was at that place where he actually met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner which fits Allah's majesty. He will meet Allah yet again for this very profound meeting. And as we said, the Nabi Sallam said, Allah took the covenant from the children of Bani Adam at Arafah. It was at this place that the covenant occurred. And it was at that place that Allah forgave Adam alayhi salam. So Arafah is the place where we met Allah the first time. And it's the place where the Hajji has an appointment with Allah. Allah descends to them and they have a one-on-one with Allah. And of course, the real purpose of Arafah is to remind us of the ultimate meeting with Allah on the day of Qiyamah. All of these are preparation steps for the real one-on-one, may Allah protect, court case we have with Allah. If you look at Hajj, there's Mecca with his tawaf and sa'i. Mina has jamarat and qurban and all the rituals. Arafah, which is the highlight, it's the main event of Hajj, there is no ritual there. Even salah is made short. Even salah is cut in half and joined together. Why? Because it is a day where you are standing with Allah alone. And it is symbolic of Qiyamah. As the Hajj stands, and for the Hujjaj who are going tomorrow, it is really like we are asking, Ya Allah, whether I go to Jannah or Jahannam. That is what's at stake on the day of Arafah. You've got 5 hours, 4 hours, to get your soul into Jannah. Everything of your life comes down to those 5 hours. Everything that you've done, you've looked at, you've said, you've spoken to, ultimately comes down, do I leave here going to Jannah? Do I leave this when the sun sets at Maghrib? Have I guaranteed my place in Jannah? If not, most likely I'm not going to come here again. You only get one shot at this. My soul, my akhirah is in the balance when you stand at Arafah. And as we said, we hope that no one goes there. We believe that no matter what haji, anyone, the best of them and the worst of them, those who come with the most sins, they will be forgiven, insha'Allah. As the Nabi says, this is the day where Allah forgives the most people on the day of Arafah. And that, so the whole purpose of Arafah, if we were to ask ourselves, what must the haji do? Now, if you are in Mina, you're preparing, what must I prepare for? A mashallah brother, you know, who was in our hajj class, he sent me a question. Usually the hajjis ask a lot of things about ihram and all of this very technical stuff. Alhamdulillah, the part of hajj is very technical. But he asked me an excellent question, which is really why this khutbah is dedicated to this khutbah, is like, how do I make dua on Arafah? If the whole purpose of Arafah is dua, we all know what dua is, how do I make dua for 5-6 hours? That is what Arafah is all about. You, lillahi al-mathal a'la, we give Allah no analogy. But if the King of Kings, the Lord of the Universe, you see in your diary, some people prepared for it, some people got unexpectedly. In your diary, on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, this year, 2024, you have an appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That appointment, the location, it's not a Zoom appointment, it's not online, it's a physical appointment with Allah at this place called Arafah, between Dhuhr and Maghrib. And you're going to chat, speak to your Lord. What subhan do I do? How do I prepare for this? The only thing that it is dua. The Nabi says, the dua of Arafah is the best dua. There is no greater dua you can make. If any, inshallah, all of us will get to be at Arafah. Those who have never been there, you'll get there. Those who have been there will go again. But there is no time, place, situation where your dua is more powerful. Even in the last, the night of Laylatul Qadr, the last moment of Laylatul Qadr is not as powerful as those hours of the Hajjis on Arafah. They literally, Allah has come to them and they are speaking to Allah in a time and place when He's at His most merciful. So the Rabbi says, the absolute greatest dua you can make is the dua of Arafah. And the best dhikr you can make is the dhikr of Arafah, which is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wal hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. In it, there is an hour, the Nabi says, on the day of Arafah, there is an hour in which no believing person, no matter how good, bad, how pious you are, no person makes dua to Allah in that moment, except that Allah will absolutely accept the dua. There is no request that Allah rejects on that day. That is what Arafah means. Now how, if I'm a haji, how do I capitalize with this? How do I make dua for 5 hours? What should I ask? How do I ask it? And this is for the hajis, yes, but for us as well. The Nabi says, like he says, Al-Hajj Arafah. Arafah is the essence of hajj. Arafah is the heart of hajj. But you know what he says, the Nabi says, what is the heart of ibadah? The heart of worship is dua. Yes, we make salah, we qurban, all these rituals. If you took away the rituals, you took away the tahara and all of that, ultimately, Islam is you speaking to Allah, you asking Allah, you having a conversation with Allah. That is what our religion comes down to. And how do I make dua? So how do you structure your dua? whether it is a 5 minute dua after salah, or whether it's a 5 hour dua if you're on Arafah. How do you do this dua? The first thing is your mindset must be there. When we speak to Allah, we are not speaking to someone who doesn't want to give. We are not speaking to someone who wants to punish or wants to withhold. We are speaking to the Lord who wants to give, who is charitable and generous, and believing that if I ask, Allah will not say no. I mentioned to the Hajjis, Allah called you for Hajj. He invited you as a guest. If, think about this, you've got a cousin in Australia, and you said, you know, my cousin, I'm inviting you to come to Cape Town for holiday. And I have everything prepared for you. I've got your visa and stuff, I prepared. So now you come, do you think when you've come all the way from Australia to your cousin's house, and you say, you know, I really lust for some kusisters. He's going to say, how can you ask me that? He said, no, whatever you want, you the guest of honor. Now Allah is hosting you. Don't be shy to ask Allah. Don't be shy, O guests of Allah, to ask whatever you want, big or small. Allah wants you to ask Him. He in fact insists on it. Ask more. And you must believe in your heart of hearts when Allah says, who will answer the muttar? Who is the one that the person in desperation, the one who is sick, who is struggling, who is suffering, who is the one that hears his dua except Allah? Allah loves that you ask Him and besiege Him. So go with a mindset. I'm really the luckiest person on earth. Because the one who can fix all my problems, the one who can answer all my du'as has said, come, O Haji, O Ahmed, O Sulaiman, where are you from? Come, speak to your Lord so I can give whatever you want. I can solve all your problems. I'm giving you that exclusive opportunity. So now with du'a, however, if we do speak to a king, there is a format. If you write an email, lillahi mathal a'la, but if you write the email to the president of the king, you don't say, my potholes, fix it now. I want this now. You don't speak that way when you address just your boss or whatever. How do we address the Lord of the Alameen? So how do we structure our dua? Dua has a very specific format, and we should all try to follow this dua. First thing also, remember your dua doesn't have to be in Arabic. In fact, I encourage you not to make dua in Arabic. If you haven't memorized an Arabic dua, say it in your language, Afrikaans, Khoza, English, whatever it is. Speak from your heart. It's a conversation. Allah understands all languages. Speak to Allah. The Anbiya, not all of them spoke Arabic. Do we think all the Anbiya spoke Arabic? They didn't speak Arabic. They spoke their languages. We begin by praising Allah. You know, when you address... In the world today, your honorable so-and-so, we begin by praising Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to you, Lord of the universe, the creator, the sustainer, all-knower, all-wise. We praise you, we thank Allah, we glorify, we make takbir, Allahu Akbar. There's none worthy of worship but you. You begin by addressing Allah by His titles. Allah loves, so when you call, when you address somebody in the email, I mean, just think about this, lillahi ta'ala, we don't give analogies, but it's for us to understand. You'll say, Honorable President so-and-so, Your Excellency, blah, blah, blah. This is exactly how we begin our dua. When we call upon Allah, we call upon His names and His titles, we praise Him that He's due to Him. These are not titles, this is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you begin by praising Allah and mentioning His beautiful names. And just for us to know, this of course not only for the Hajjis, for all of us, Allah has many names, but His most powerful names, the two names He loves the most, is called Ismul Al-A'zam. The two greatest names of Allah is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. The Nabi says in a dua, listen to this, listen to the way the Sahabi made dua. The Nabi says, the Prophet ﷺ tells us about a man, he's listening to a Sahabi. A Sahabi is making dua. And this Sahabi was in his dua, the Nabi heard, and this is what he said. The Sahabi said, oh Allah, I ask you by the virtue of the fact that all praise is due to you. I'm asking you because all hamd belongs to you. And that there is none worthy of worship but you, and there is no God besides you. You have no partner, no associate. You are the bestower. Al-Razaq, the giver, the Khaliq, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the universe, the possessor of majesty and Adhul Jalali wal Ikram, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever-living, the eternal. And when he said that, the Nabi says, the Sahabi has asked Allah by his greatest name. And when you call Allah by that name, Allah answers and gives whatever you want. Look at how beautiful the Sahabi speaks to Allah. This is how you begin your dua. So if you're sitting in Arafah, spend about half an hour just mentioning Allah's names, and you are the Rabbul Alameen, you are the creator, the sustainer. At the end of Surah Hashar, Surah Hashar is a surah, at the end of it, we all those ayah, Huwal Hayyul Qayyum, Allah subhanahu mentions all his names in the Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir. Mention these things, mention these names. So you begin by praising Allah, His titles, His majesty, mention His names. Then you move to the next important part of your dua. It is to mention our servitude to Allah. Surah Fatiha is a very good template, and it follows this exact structure. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You praise Allah, the Lord of the universe. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, two names of Allah, the most merciful, the most kind. Maliki Yawmiddin, you are the King of all kings, the King of Day of Judgment. All of that is Allah. We praise you, we glorify you, mention your names. Then you transition. Now that we established who you are, Ya Allah, who am I? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You are my Lord and I am your slave. I am here to worship you. You alone do I worship. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone do I put all my dependency. This part, in fact, Surah Fatiha, as I said, is a template for dua. This ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, is the heart of Surah Fatiha. Again, so if you begin, the heart of Islam is dua. And the heart of dua is this concept of our worship to Allah. Our relationship with Him is, you are my Rabb and I am your servant. If you look at the dua of the Anbiya, we've attached it, we won't go through it, but if you look at the duas of the Anbiya, like Nabi Yunus, La ilaha illa anta, there's none worthy of worship but you. Subhanaka inni kuntu min adhalimin. He first, that's why the kalima is the most beautiful dua you can make. That there is none that I worship but you, Ya Allah. Who can I turn to other than you? Who's going to cure my cancer other than you? Who's going to help my children other than you? I have no Rabb but you. I have no way to turn to other than you. There's none that can protect me but you. I have come only for you, Ya Allah. That is, spend time in acknowledging our servitude, our submission, our surrendering to Allah. Ya Allah, we submit to you completely. And so, you mention your submission to Allah. Then you express your situation. Now you can say, oh Allah, now that I've established you are my Rabb, you are my Lord, I am your slave. Ya Allah, I'm in difficulty. Ya Allah, I'm struggling. Ya Allah, the doctors can't cure my cancer. Ya Allah, my rizq is not enough. Ya Allah, I've committed sin. Now you begin to appeal, and you must mention your situations. Again, if you look at the Anbiya, it is beautiful how they express their desperation. Allah wants you to express how desperate you are. To Him alone. Nabi Ya'qub, innama ashku bathi wa khuzni ila Allah. Nabi Ya'qub lost Nabi Yusuf, he doesn't know where he is. He says, oh Allah, I complain about my sorrow and my heartbreak. I'm crying before you, Ya Allah. I am heartbroken, Ya Allah. I am broken. That's how Allah loves you to make dua. And so you express your deep desperation. Ya Allah, if I leave this place of Arafah and you haven't forgiven me, I'm not going to get another chance. I am desperate. I have left my home to come yet just for you, Ya Allah. I have put everything on the line for you, Ya Allah. Allah loves to hear. So then express your desperation. Express your situation. Speak about the problem you have. You have to then repent. Before you start asking, I want more, Ya Allah. I want an extra this. I want an extra that. Ya Allah, forgive me for disobeying you. You've given me so much. I thank you for what you've already given me. Before I ask for more, I thank you for what you've given me. And Ya Allah, forgive me for me disobeying you. You owe me nothing, Ya Allah. You don't owe me anything. I have disobeyed you. I have looked at which I shouldn't have. I've said what I shouldn't have. I've hurt people. I've done so much haram. You are full at your rights to punish me if you will, but we hope for your mercy, Ya Allah. So now we repent. And the Hajj, of course, one of the big aspects of Hajj, of Arafah in particular, is to get his lifetime of sin forgiven, wiped out. 70 years of sin you can get forgiven within 1-2 minutes on Arafah. That is what Arafah gives you. All your sin, the Haji now, Tawbah is, you don't mention your sin to anyone, but you mention it to Allah. Ya Allah, I did that sin, and you know that sin I did. Forgive me, Ya Allah. Pardon me. I intend never to go back to it. The intention of never going back to it is there. Some of you, some Hajis might be in the sin, and they might even think, I might go back to it. Make dua, Ya Allah, save me not to go back to it. Even though I love that sin, I enjoy that sin, I look forward to that sin. Ya Allah, change my heart not to go back to it. We thank Allah, as we said, we express our gratitude for whatever we have. And Allah loves you to enumerate your blessings. فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Allah says to Nabi Sallam, mention the blessings you have. So say, Ya Allah, thank you for my Islam. Thank you for bringing me my health, my parents, my children, my job. Every blessing you can think of, list it down and thank Allah for it. Remember, Allah says that if you make shukr of Allah, فَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I'll give you more. The more you thank Allah for your wealth, the more He gives you. The more you thank Allah for your relationships, He increases it in goodness. Walhamdulillah. So thank Allah. Spend time. Now if you look at your dua, it's becoming long. Half an hour I'm praising Allah. Half an hour I'm expressing my servitude to Allah and I'm complaining of my situation. Then half an hour I spend repenting for my sins. Some of us have more than half an hour of sins to repent to. Maybe it takes us more than the whole of Arafah. Then all our blessings. Half an hour just thanking Allah for our blessings. Now we are ready to ask. Now Allah says, okay, what is it that you want? Now you begin to ask. And when you ask, obviously there are priorities. I know you want that Ferrari. I know you want the holiday. But more than that, Ya Allah, grant me Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Grant me to die as a Muslim. Protect my Islam, my Iman. Protect the Iman of my children. If I don't get anything else, but I leave Arafah with a guarantee I'm going to Jannah, alhamdulillah, then I'm okay. So you begin by, that's why in Surah Fatiha, the only thing we ask is, Iyyakana ihdina siratul mustaqim. Keep us guided, Ya Allah. Don't let us lose this Islam that you've given us. So you begin by asking for your Islamic well-being, the Islamic well-being of your children, your family. You then ask Allah to protect you from calamities. Allah, protect me from hardship in the dunya, disease, misfortune, the punishment of the qabr, that I stand before you with deeds that disappoint you. Protect me from Jahannam. All the things you can think of that is bad, oh Allah, protect me from that. Then we ask about the dunya stuff. Don't be shy to ask Allah for the dunya stuff. The Nabi says, ask Allah even if your shoelace breaks. We will think, Ya Allah, I'm going to ask Allah for my shoelaces. Ask Allah. If you're an Arafah Haji, ask Allah even for your shoes, your socks. Ask the biggest things, Jannatul Firdaus, and the smallest of things. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, now of course you ask for your rizq, your health. You ask for happiness in your life. You ask for your relationships. You ask for your family. You ask Allah for your community, change situation. And subhanAllah, something which we should always ask is a good life and a good death. Oh Allah, grant us to die when you are pleased with us. Take us away when you are pleased with us. Once you've done asking the things that you want, start with yourself. Don't ever forget to ask for everybody else. Spend half an hour to ask for the ummah. But there are, of course, yes, Ya Allah, help the whole ummah. Alhamdulillah, great. But also, there are specific people you must mention. People by name you must mention. You must make dua for your parents, living or alive, and your grandparents. You must make dua for your children, your sis, your siblings. These are the most important people in your life. Your spouse. You must make dua for them. And you make dua for everyone in your family that you know. That you know that person is struggling, they're sick. That person is looking for a job. That couple is looking to get a child. That one is looking for a husband, looking for a wife. Make dua, mention them. On Arafah, you go with our hopes and our duas. Make dua for all of us. And in the broader community, Ya Allah, save the Muslims in Cape Town and in South Africa. Grant that this ummah survives and thrives until the day of Qiyamah. Protect us from all the calamities and the problems we have. We're in a very difficult time at the moment. And then of course the ummah at large, the people of Gaza. Every haji should be making dua for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Brothers and sisters across the ummah, across the world. You make dua for the living and the dead. You make dua for your teachers and your leaders and your ulama. Make dua for the ulama. Because if they are lost, then we are all lost. So you make dua for the ulama. You make dua for our rulers and for all of humanity. Many people ask, can I make dua for non-Muslims? Of course, make dua for non-Muslims. May Allah guide them to Islam. Allah grant them hidayah. We make dua for them. Your colleagues. Tell your colleagues when you come back, I made dua for you on Arafah. I made dua for you, for their well-being and for their hidayah. And then of course you end your dua. And throughout your dua you can do this. You of course have to send salawat and salutations on the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Spend maybe half an hour making salawat on the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You have to send. You would not have been a Muslim have it not been the sacrifice of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba and his family. And so we send salutations on the Nabi and on his family and all the and the Anbiya. And we praise him. And your dua is now not finalized until you do the salawat. And so we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to accept the efforts of the Hujjaj to make it easy for them. May Allah grant them Hajj Maqbool, Hajj Mabroor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon all of us. May Allah bless us all in these holy days. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all our affairs good in this dunya and the akhirah. So the slides continue, but this is for all of you as well. We've attached recommended du'as, the Arabic and the English. So anyone who wants to take a copy of the slides, you will have du'as from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we've also attached all the du'as of the Anbiya, the du'a of Nabi Musa, the du'a of Nabi Sulaiman, the du'a of Nabi Yaqub, so that you can use it as a reference. But inshallah, that's for you to share and to implement in your life. Quick announcements. So alhamdulillah, as we said, Arafah is tomorrow. We hope everybody fasts inshallah on the day of Arafah. And then the day of Eid, as you know, Eid in this masjid is on Sunday, the day after Arafah. And for those who are keeping Eid on Monday, alhamdulillah, no problem inshallah. We said we had this discussion many times. So Eid on Sunday at Masjid Bur al-Islam will be at 7:15 is the takbir. And we'll have our Eid Salah at 8:15. And then for Qurban, we still have a few sheep left. So those who would like to Qurban on Sunday, you can speak to us there inshallah. And then next week Friday, we move on. We're going to have, at school holidays, after Isha, a nightmare on Ilm Street will be at our hub. Inshallah, something part of our June holiday program. Inshallah, something interesting under the stars in the evening. Inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.